News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So that was Lindy Blanchard a moment ago, one of the top candidates for governor right now, with a very interesting resume. You know what's kind of neat is how many, what the eclectic level of candidates that we have. And I mean the eclectic in the right way. Like we've got people from all walks, from all different backgrounds, running for the various offices that we have to vote on. And it's pretty amazing to look at. By the way, coming up top of the hour, another one coming on, John Roberts, who's not been on the show yet. John Roberts is running for Congress. He'll be on with us at 4 o'clock, so you're going to want to hear that. But yeah, think about it. I mean, that's America right there. It's not like there's a cookie cutter for who runs for office. And it truly does show that we have some form of a representative government, if you know what I mean, because they come from all the different walks of life. I can remember when I was in the state Senate, okay, I'm just kind of like what I'm doing right now in my mind. I'm picturing where I sat on the Senate floor. I was towards the back right of the Senate chamber. Sitting next to me was a guy who was a retired teacher. And then there was me. And then right next to me was Bill Holtzclaw, who was a retired Marine. And then next to him was Paul Sanford, who was a restaurant owner. Right in front of me was Paul Bussman, who was a dentist. Next to him was Clay Schofield, who's a farmer. Right next to, and also Steve Livingston, who owned, I think he owned a number of gas station, food mart kind of places. And then next to him was an eye doctor. I mean, it just shows you the sort of the eclectic level or of the governance that we have in Montgomery. Kind of cool, but it's that way all around. Right now what we're seeing, too, is just look at the race for governor. There's Lindy Blanchard, who was in the private sector for a number of years, a businesswoman. She and her husband built their business, and then she became Trump's ambassador to Slovenia. That's an interesting resume. On top of that, you got Tim James, who's a private sector guy who's worked in the private industry for a long time. There's that. On top of that, you've also got Lou Burdett, who was the COO, for all of Books a Million. Dean Odle, who's a Baptist minister. And of course, Kay Ivey, who, I think her family has been in the timber industry for a number of years, but she herself has been in state government now for 40 years. So that's basically her career has been in state service or state government. And then you look over at like Congressional District 5. So right up here in the North Alabama area, CD5 is the seat being vacated by Congressman Mo Brooks as he runs for U.S. Senate. He can't run for both. So Mo Brooks is leaving that seat. And the people that are running for that office, I mean, you've got Dale Strong, a businessman, a volunteer firefighter, and a county commissioner. And then you've got Casey Wardinski, a retired career Army guy, retired as a colonel, service in the upper echelons of the Pentagon. And then also the superintendent of the city school system. That's a pretty interesting background. And then on top of that, you got other candidates in that same race. Paul Sanford, I mentioned a moment ago, running for Congress now. A restaurant owner. He's actually a culinary school trained chef. That's pretty cool, who served in the state Senate. And then we're going to meet here in a little while. You'll also meet John Roberts and hear his interview, and we'll get to know him a little bit. I'm just saying it's kind of cool to see who runs for office. I guess if I had to say any one thing to any of you out there who are thinking about running for anything, there is no set resume. You do not have to have some special degree. You don't have to have any special training. There's no special background. There's no special understanding or special knowledge. In fact, if you look at Acts chapter 4, Peter and John stood up in front of the Pharisees, and they were told never to speak in the name of Jesus again, but literally the Pharisees looked at them and saw them speaking with great authority, and it says they recognized them as being unschooled and untrained individuals, meaning they were just salt of the earth folks who went and got it done. I'm telling you, any one of y'all out there, you right side ruffians, any one of y'all would qualify for office. I mean, take a look at some of the yokels that got the office now, right? All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, let me go back to number one on the Triple Dipper and finish up this paint at the pump thing. And before I do that, though, let me just tell you, you heard me talk about 1819 News a minute ago. I got one of my stories for this whole first segment off of 1819. I want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, check them out. 1819 News, that's 1819news.com. This has got to be one of the most reliable sources of state-level news you can find. I mean, they are committed to calling the balls and the strikes. Their skew and the spew is not going to make it inside the news stories. Do they have editorial content? Sure. But it's set off to the side. They don't try to steer you towards a liberal agenda in their news. Or for that matter, a conservative agenda. They just report the news, but they also report the things that make you proud to be an Alabamian, and I appreciate that. 1819 News, named for the year that Alabama became a state. You can find them online at 1819news.com. I use them all the time. They are affiliated with the Alabama Policy Institute, the same as I am, and they're good at what they do. They've got an entire staff of reporters that are tearing it up right now. All right, listen, 1819news.com. I had that story from 1819 News a minute ago about gas prices, and I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, kind of rounding out that whole discussion. It's one of the biggest stories out there. I mean, you've got a legislature that is, raised gas taxes and probably thought that it would blow up. In fact, I know they did. They even said so. Well, by the time we get, that's why they did it right away. They came in the quadrennium. They didn't want any of the one-third of the legislature that was brand new to have any time to catch their breath. They called a special session, bam, just like that. And then all these new guys are down there going, I don't even know where the bathrooms are. You want me to vote on a gas tax? And they did. A lot of them did. A lot of them said, yes, Governor Ivey, I'll do that. Please don't be mean. And so they voted for the gas tax. And, you know, you're seeing new pavement. You're seeing new pavement here and there. But you're also seeing right now that it came at the worst possible time. I mean, we went straight into COVID. Supply chain got jacked up. And then all of a sudden, gas prices under the Biden administration went through the roof. So they raised the gas tax in 2019. It went into effect in 2020. And that's when everything got weird. And now here we are, and 10 cents on every gallon you buy comes from a new gas tax that the current legislature put in. Think about that when you go to the polls next week. But we're not the only ones feeling the pain. And right now, Fox Business has a story. FoxBusiness.com dated yesterday. Title of the story, Gas Prices Reach Record New High as GOP Senators Blame Biden for Holding Production Back. Well, the Biden administration does not want to admit that the changes took place on their watch because of their policies. Average gas prices, it says in the story, reached the new record high Thursday, according to AAA's gas price calculator, and Republican senators have slammed the Biden administration for a de facto ban on new drilling. The prices come now as the European Union is edging towards oil sanctions on Russia because of the invasion of Ukraine. It also comes amid record high inflation, with the consumer price index reaching 8.3%. 8.3%, a 40-year high, by the way, on inflation. Whew. Wow. The price hike also follows the Department of the Interior's cancellation of an oil and gas lease sale for over a million acres in Alaska's Cook Inlet last week. And by the way, they also canceled two Gulf of Mexico leases. And just so you know, Gulf of Mexico leases that fall into Alabama's waters fund Alabama's rainy day trust fund. Our state of Alabama made $50 million just last year alone before the Biden administration shut things down. No, it was 2020, I'm sorry, before the Biden administration shut things down. Well, the Biden administration announced last month that the EPA is going to allow the sale of E15 gasoline. That's a 15% ethanol blend. So what they're doing is, rather than drilling more, they're just going to change the blend. They're going to increase the amount of ethanol. I don't know the ins and outs. Maybe somebody out there in this audience can tell me, is more ethanol better for your engine? Is more ethanol better or worse for your mileage? All I know is this. We didn't have to have a new blend 2 years ago. It's only been since the Biden, they are determined not to produce more oil and gas. 20 Republican senators, led by Senator Ted Cruz, sent a letter to Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo calling for the National Marine Fisheries Service to quickly issue permits required to bring additional production online. Makes me crazy. All right, that was a Fox Business story. Here's a story that came off of FoxNews.com. FoxNews.com. Title, dated yesterday, title, Energy Secretary Granholm denies high gas prices are the result of the Biden administration's policies during a spar with Senator Josh Hawley. I'm just going to tell you, Hawley was wearing her out. He's from Wyoming, I believe. Is that right? I think he's, that sounds right. Anyway, Hawley. No, he's not from Hawley. He's from Missouri. Hawley was wearing out Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, and I have never seen her give testimony in which she didn't make herself look like a knucklehead. So Energy Secretary Granholm insisted yesterday, that policies implemented under the Biden administration had no impact on the rising energy prices. And Josh Hawley said, how can you possibly say that? I'm paraphrasing. And he went on to say, the cost of gasoline in his home state of Missouri, as well as projections for even higher gasoline, that he wanted to know, did she believe that the current prices are acceptable? She said, no, it's not, but you can thank the activity of Vladimir Putin. I mean, come on, really? And but that was his reaction too. He jumped in, he goes, nonsense. He said, with all due respect, Madam Secretary, that's utter nonsense. Now, let me just read you what he said. In January 2021, he says, the average gas price in my state was $2.07. 8 months later, long before Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine, the price was up 30% and it's been going up consistently ever since. He says, what are you doing to reverse the administration's policies? She said, with respect, sir, it's not the administration policies. And he came back and he said, here's what your president did. And he talked about the Paris Climate Accord, canceling the Keystone Pipeline, halting the leases in Anwar, 60-day halt on new oil and gas leases in federal lands and waters. He directed federal agencies to eliminate all support for fossil fuels, blah, 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 to which she really has no good response. His response to her responses are, I have to say, Madam Secretary, with all due respect, your answers are insulting. He said, you said 2 months ago your department was on a war footing, so what are you doing to bring down the price of gasoline? To which she really had no answer. I got a call real quick over here in line four. Let me grab that. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Doing well. Salutations to you. And
yes, sir, you too.
Increased ethanol in our gasoline is not going to make any difference in the gas price. It might even increase it because a lot of our farmers, I know a few, are actually switching from corn, which can be made to use ethanol, to soybeans because they can't afford the fertilizer. Soybeans don't need nearly the fertilizer. Therefore, we are to be producing less corn, and the corn prices are going to increase any ethanol coming off of them. So this is a lose-lose situation as far as that goes. Have a good one. Goodbye.
Wow. Brian, thanks, man. That's a, that's some analysis right there. And you know, what an amazing thing to think about it. I mean, do they not recognize when they put policies in place what the second and third order effects are going to be? And I would say the answer to that is no. Or if they do, then it's intentional. Wow. Copper, I see you got another caller on the line. Just highlight his name when you're ready for that, and I'll grab it. So yeah, folks. I mean, I don't know the status of this being that we are looking at changing the formula to increase the amount of ethanol, and that's the best idea. I don't know what to say to that except, you know what? You didn't have to increase the formula just a couple years ago. You didn't have to. Copper, are we going to take that call or what are we doing? Okay. All right. Well, tell you what, just tell him then that, we can do this another time. If you don't think he can get this, his line's not good. We good now? All right. I'll grab it. We'll try it. 9-4 Paul from New Hope. Hey, Paul, Phil Williams on the right side. How you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. How you doing?
The, issue on ethanol is very simple. In a world short of food, it is insane to turn food into fuel.
Well, I don't disagree with that. So you find issue basically with increasing the formula, put more ethanol and gas then.
Okay. The issue of dealing with the situation, we are turning 50% of our corn in the United States into ethanol.
Well, and we are.
It is upping the demand for fertilizer and not producing food.
Well, Paul, you are right, man. I appreciate it. Hey, I got one more call I got to grab before the break, Paul.
You
so thanks for calling in.
We'll let you go.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right. Hey, let me grab line one. Copper, you ready for that one? Is it good to go? All right. Steve from, Steve from North Carolina? Is that what that says?
Yes.
It does. Right. I am on vacation in North Carolina and listening to the show.
Well, appreciate that very much, Steve. What's on your mind, bud?
Well, I wanted to add to Brian's comments about corn and ethanol. The research that I've done says that ethanol decreases gas mileage in almost all vehicles and increases the wear and tear. So, you know, this is a triple dipper. We're going to increase corn prices. We're going to decrease mileage and end up obviously putting more gas in our engines to keep our cars running.
Good Lord. It's a perfect storm for just doing it all wrong is what it sounds like to me. I get it. If you don't have supply, I see it. But when you know you've got the ability to increase supply, you just choose not to. This is not the right track is what it sounded like.
Not at all.
Not at all. Hey, Steve, have a great vacation, man. Hope you do well up there.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Copper, move us to the break. We got great callers. Move us to the break, and we will come back from this one. Wrapping up this section on the triple dipper of pain at the pump. I mean, it just feels like we're increasing the levels of pain. Like, please, sir, may I have another? All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. The call's lit up. Apparently, this ethanol and fuel and gas price thing is a big topic. So let me just, Copper, who we got first there? I'm looking at two lines that are occupied. So I'll tell you what. Yeah, let's do that. Line two, JT from Lacey Springs. JT, how you doing today?
Doing quite well this afternoon. And yourself?
I'm good, sir. Thank you so much. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, the concern about the E15, my car, my truck, my lawnmower, weed eater, they all have this little symbol on there of E15, and it is crossed out. You know, saying not to use E15 in the vehicles. So how's that going to place, most people would, are they going to have to start buying ethanol-free fuel now? So, you know, that's one of the concerns that's going to be placed if E15 makes it to the market.
That's a great, JT, it also brings up the question, what happens to your warranty? If you do something that the vehicle has to have so you can get to work, but that's what your vehicle said don't do, do you violate the warranty if something goes wrong? That's a great question, too.
Yeah, that's quite a possibility. Also, an additional comment before I say goodbye. A lot of the campaign ads, they're always discussing about draining the swamp. You know, that's constantly being repeated. My answer to that is don't drain the swamp, just raise the water level so that they can sink or swim.
All right, JT, appreciate you, man. Have a great weekend. Thanks for calling in. Line three, Leanne from Huntsville. Hey, Leanne, how you doing today?
Hey, fine. I thought I was the only one who looked at an owner's manual or paid attention to labels, but I'm glad JT said that because I have a 2014 Kia Forte, and in my owner's manual it says, watch out how much ethanol you have because it'll damage the engine.
Wow. Wow.
So I
mean,
just
you look
want
at this.
People to pay attention. Look at your owner's manual before you go changing the kind of gas that you put in your car.
I'm about to go out there and get my Jeep owner's manual during the next break and figure out what it says. I mean, this is big doings. Dadgummit.
Yeah, it is. And nobody talks about that on the radio, but look at what your car can handle because some can and some can't.
All right. Well, Leanne, thank you. Appreciate you as always. You have a great weekend. All right, folks, I'm just telling you, this whole thing is crooked as a jack's hind leg. You know what I'm saying? Ate up like a soup sandwich. That's what the black hats used to say at airborne school. When you did not do your proper parachute landing fall, they said, you are ate up like a soup sandwich. Well, that's what we're seeing right now. This whole situation is ate up like a soup sandwich. Last story I got here, Dallas News. I went all the way out to Texas. DallasNews.com. Ted Cruz, the Biden administration's antagonism towards oil and gas is hurting Texans. Well, it's hurting everybody. But, of course, he's a Texas senator, so I get it. But he points out, apparently Ted Cruz actually wrote this article, or at least it was written for him. He says, a year ago, Russian hackers breached, I'd forgotten about this, the Colonial Pipeline. Remember that? Says, a year ago, Russian hackers breached the network of the biggest pipeline in the country and demanded a ransom to unlock the system. Says, within 90 minutes, the pipeline was shut down for the first time in 57 years, and the transport of 2.5 million barrels of fuel a day, about 45% of the Eastern Seaboard supply, ground to a halt. I'd forgotten about that. He went on to say, the Colonial Pipeline crisis should have been a wake-up call for Democrats from the Northeast governors who won't allow pipelines to deliver fuel from neighboring states. And Biden's administration has made it exceedingly difficult for energy producers to return to pre-COVID-19 production numbers. And he goes on to talk about the fact when Biden took office, the average price of gas nationwide was $2.38 a gallon. And on Monday this week, it was $4.32. He wrote this on May 10th, so that's Monday, a couple weeks ago. It's higher than that now. He said, this is not an accident. It's not an unintended side effect, nor was it the result of the war in Ukraine. This is the result of the Green New Deal zealots within the Biden administration and their desire to put an end to oil and gas. And before Putin invaded Ukraine, gas prices had already risen a total of 48% since Biden became president. That's where we are. They can try to deny it, but the facts don't lie. And what you have right now is an absolute, the two things that we see right now that are an absolute belligerence, like it's their policies that are causing it, are the southern border and gas prices. And they know it. And there's no way they can't know it, because it wasn't there before and now it's there in spades. And they are ate up like a soup sandwich and they will not make a change. It's like a, you know, I will say this, I did not like the Obama administration one bit. But even Obama at the midterms, when he recognized that he had lost the fight, and I think something like 60 House seats were lost because of his policies, he pivoted. And he actually got reelected because he pivoted and came off of some of his hardline stances. Right now, I am seeing nothing but belligerence out of the Biden administration. They are zealously hanging on and denying that anything could possibly be attributed to their actions. They own it. The Democrats have the House, the Senate, the White House, and almost half the Supreme Court. They've got everything it takes to do the things they want to do, and what they're doing is exactly what they said they would do. And they're driving gas prices through the roof and then pulling up with jackleg solutions like, we'll just increase the amount of ethanol. Which, you know, great callers. What great callers we've had today. Ethanol. Many of your engines are not designed to receive E15 blends of 15% ethanol to gas. And then on top of that, corn, which is where ethanol is derived, the cost of fertilizer to grow the corn is going through the roof because of the supply chain that the Biden administration has also jacked up. It's a comedy of errors, folks. Ate up like a soup sandwich. You can quote me on that. All right. Taking a short break. Coming back from that, we got John Roberts, who's running for Congress, coming on the show. We'll see what he has to say here on Right Side about his candidacy, and then we'll keep moving through the afternoon. It's Friday, y'all. Friday all day long. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.